I would hope that they've thought about that and have like made it so that like once you do that, it's gonna be visible.
Yeah, it would be kind of comical. They were just like, "Oh man, we didn't think about it. If someone does something, they'd probably just delete their match." Oh shit! Ah, sorry,
our bad.
We lost it. I'm like, what?
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast. I am Allie Jackson.
And I'm Erica Spira.
Hello, hello. Erica, I've just noticed something as I'm reviewing my notes for the updates that we're going to talk about.
Oh, I changed your little nickname.
You changed the nickname.
We had a better nickname. I was like, what is this? What is long sleeves? What the fuck is long sleeves?
I just wrote that today.
That's what you're going to call him? I thought you were calling him something else.
I don't know. I'm bouncing that nothing has felt right yet. So we're diving really? Right in. Hi, everyone. We're talking Hello. About a new guy.
I know. There's a new man in the picture. So, I mean, I put little asterisks and it accidentally made it italicized, but I was trying to make it like...
Oh, that's why it's italicized.
I was trying to be like, I did change this. This is better.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
I thought it was... I think of the Discord. Someone in the Discord was the one who threw out Ink Master.
I do like Ink Master. So my current, and we can let us know. I'm open to not even dealing with this until next week when we get back the feedback from the main pod peeps. So
sure.
My top right now, and then we'll get into the story and everybody can let us know. Ink Master, something to do with sleeves. People might have guessed. He's got tattoos.
He has tattoos. That's what's based on this. He has a sleeve of tats. You had long sleeves written. That's, I was like, long sleeves?
I don't know. That was one of the suggestions. I kind of liked it. And then the other one was Skyline, which is because on my way home from meeting him, I sent him what I thought was a very artsy picture of the skyline. And upon review, it's just like trails of lights, like trails of color.
Yeah, it's a blur. It's not good.
I
did like Skyline.
I like Skyline. Skyline might actually be landing the best with me right now.
Okay. I mean, you got to tell the story to share it with the pod here.
I do.
Get some input. Maybe there'll be
even
a newer nickname, but Ink Master was my vote. That was my vote.
More nicknames to confuse me. Before we do that, though, I have to give a shout out to Sunset Lake CBD. And I know we give a lot of shout outs to Sunset Lake CBD. They were the first ever sponsor of the pod. We've been shouting them out for quite a while. But I have recently been using a newer product of theirs that I'm in love with.
Oh, which one?
It's their Focus gummies. Have you tried those?
I have. They have the Focus one and the Calm one, but I'm using the Focus ones more.
So have you ever tried pre-workout?
I have not, because sometimes it psychs me out a little bit, like the gym bro types that are just psyched on a pre-workout. And I'm like, that seems like a lot. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not doing that much, you know?
It is a lot. I have a lot of friends who take it pre-workout, like C4 or whatever. Like, I have a lot of friends who take it before volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
And I have tried it and I'm too hype. Like, I get jittery and I can't function in the way that maybe it would be good for weightlifting, but it is not good for volleyball. It's not good for like fine motor skills.
I think it just depends. I'm not a big caffeine person. If I have a full Diet Coke, I am too wired. Same thing. Same feeling. That's why I'm not like a coffee drinker per se.
Yeah. So I went away from pre-workout and I just was like rolling with like regular ass water. Mm-hmm. And then Sunset Lake had sent us their new stuff. And one of them was these Focus gummies. Like, I'm going to try to take these before volleyball. Oh. It's not what they're intended for, to be clear. They're intended for like clarity of mind, like maybe when you're going to try to work or like whatever. I really have been enjoying them to like get me locked in before volleyball.
I mean, I would say it is the same. It's Focus.
True.
They're literally Focus gummies.
True. Yeah, you're right.
They do work well. Yeah. I like them. It's one of their newer products. Yeah.
It's great. And they also help with like, sometimes I have a little bit of anxiety going into volleyball, especially like a big tournament, you know, a lot of pressure, da, da, da. Like the CBD kind of helps with that. The stuff for the Focus. I've just been really enjoying it. So shout out to them.
Yeah. And if you want to check them out, sunsetlakecbd.com, promo code FMH20 for 20% off. And you can use it numerous times. My roommate loves the drops. She's a high anxiety girl, so she likes the high concentration drops,
especially
the sleep drops, even the new ones. They have a new one that doesn't have melatonin in it if you're not a melatonin fan, but I personally like the gummies with the melatonin. That's probably one of my favorite products that I use consistently. So
yeah, I cycle between the sleep gummies and the non-melatonin tincture, whatever that word is. So yeah, sounds like CBD. It's great.
Check it out.
Check it out.
So something that I have started incorporating into my daily routine is our new sponsor, Happy Mammoth, and specifically taking their Hormone Harmony. It is plant-based, it is nature-inspired, and it is herbal. I'm a little conscious. So I want to make sure I know what am I putting in my body. I want to be taking the right type of things. They have got it down at Happy Mammoth.
Yeah, they're really dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means only using science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They really make no compromise when it comes to quality. I have really been appreciating it for when I'm feeling like a little off or down around that time of the month. Because I have an IUD, I don't get a period. So it often surprises me when I'm at that time of the month. And this has really helped level me out in those times.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier to manage PMS, their estrogen control specifically. It also is helpful if you're going through menopause or premenopause as well.
So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use our code FMH at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code FMH for 15% off today.
So back to Skyline. I literally said it out loud and was like, do I like that?
I mean, try a few ones.
Yeah. We're trying some on for size. I met this guy in the wild.
In the wild. Look at that.
In the wild. After 6 months of going to in-person events, I have met someone.
Well, and it wasn't a dating event.
No,
that we have set on the pot. Just go out and do things. Maybe we'll meet someone. Oh, it finally fucking happened. Hello, everyone. Is this mic on?
It fucking happened.
It finally happened.
Here we are. Tap, tap. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, finally fucking happened. He is a friend of a friend, but I wouldn't have met him had I not gone to this thing. So a woman I know through this like meet and greet type event, not dating related, just a social thing. I went, another guy I knew years ago, who I haven't seen in a while, was there, and he brought Skyline with him.
Great. Perfect.
Yeah. So, and I had met him once before, but like, I don't remember, like it was like in passing, like I met him at a different event, but like I was busy, whatever. It was kind of like, oh, hi, I'm so-and-so, keep moving. Mm-hmm. So this was the first time that I like really met him, had an in-depth conversation with him. And just had a really great time. He just moved here. And when I say just moved here, I mean he is still staying with my friend who brought him to the event while he looks for an apartment. Like, new.
Mm-hmm. I mean, fresh meat, as I've said.
Yeah, there's – I feel like there's two ways to it, go.
You know?
Yeah, there's either scoop them up before mm-hmm. they, like, really get involved in the scene. Or there's, like – new to the city, want to explore vibes. And I don't think there's anything in between for men who show up here for the first time.
No. I mean, my theory is, I've said it before. I don't know if I've said it on this pod, but I'm like, sometimes there's something to getting a man before he realizes like how many women he could get or how much pussy he could get, if I put it, you know, bluntly, honestly. Because it's just like, it's a big city. There's a lot of people. The minute you're on an app, there's a million people. We now are in a paradox of choice. Like, I do think there's something to being like, wow, I organically met this person. I'm having a fun time. And yeah, maybe be his tour guide a little bit. You know, I think there's a way to get in there in a good way. I don't think it's bad.
So it's funny that you said the tour guide thing, though, because this guy's lived here for 2 weeks and is planning a better date than men who have lived here a decade.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at this at all.
It's not that hard. Like we've said, it's not that hard to look up stuff.
Nope. Not hard in the slightest.
No. And I was kind of wondering. So backing up, I met him last week. We were texting across the next couple of days. I had a volleyball tournament. He knew that. He followed up after, asked how it went. Like, great. Good banter. And then I was like, you know what? I want to go on a date with this guy. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is and ask him out. And I did. And he said yes. And so we have a date tomorrow, which is exciting. But anyway, so I had asked him out, right? And that was like several days, 4 days before the date. We didn't like nail down a plan. And I was wondering what his vibe was going to be. Like, oh, he's new here. Is he going to throw this on me? Like, what do we think it is? Blah, blah, blah. And he did not do that. He gave me two very solid options of things that we could do. And yeah, so we're going to go to this bar in Brooklyn that has skee ball. And then there's a bar like across the street that has a taco truck and live music.
Oh, perfect. A little activity.
I know, same. So yeah, just like, it's not that hard to look things up. And he like sent me these options and then also said, but I'm by no means a Brooklyn expert. So like happy to defer to the expert also. Like he like, you know, was like, I looked this stuff up, but also you live there. So if you want to do something different, like totally cool. It's like, I do not. I want to do that thing that you decided.
Yeah. Fantastic plan. Especially now that it's warm out. Have a little taco truck. You can walk around, sit outside. It's beautiful.
Totally. So I'm excited about that. And yeah, I think I'm leaning towards Skyline, to be honest. I don't know. I just don't know if I want, like, I'm thinking about future me. Like when I do these nicknames, I try to think about future me. Like, let's say I start actually dating this person. This is what I do with every nickname. Let's say I start actually dating this person. And now this is a nickname that I have to say all the time, every week. I don't think I want to say Ink Master all the time about like my boyfriend.
Do you feel like it gives almost like a Dom sub vibe or something?
Yep. That is exactly.
Oh, okay. Why. That makes sense then. The word. Yeah, I get it. I get it. The minute you were like, I was like, you gotta keep saying Ink Master. Okay. I get it. I see it.
Yeah. But I am open to other options still. So, yeah. You know, he's new in town. He's got a lot of tattoos, sleeves, double sleeves. I don't know if that's the way you say it in the tattoo world, but both arms.
Sleeves.
Yeah.
Someone said, I was like, there was a suggestion of Mr. Left Field, like came out of left field. I was like, I did like that. That is also fun. But Skyline is also fun. Great.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like Skyline. Because it was also just like a silly, because he responded to it the next morning and was like, this is an epic picture. I'm like, you're fucking lying. He's like, I was. Yeah.
I appreciate the effort. Appreciate the effort.
Yeah. Thanks for trying to tell me, but no. No, sir.
Nope.
So yeah, so that's tomorrow. And then I also have a first date tonight. That one is from the
Bumble guy, right?
Yes, this is the guy from Bumble. So I was talking about how I had had so many matches, an overwhelming number of matches. Jokes on me, only turned into one date, even though I didn't like actively make that happen, but it worked out. And this guy and I, we were supposed to go to Red Hook to get Steve's Key Lime Pie on Sunday, this past Sunday. And I actually asked a few days in advance if we could reschedule. I just like didn't think I was going to be filling up to it on Sunday. And there's a restaurant in Brooklyn that serves Steve's Key Lime Pie for dessert. So we're going to go there instead.
Oh, perfect. So a dessert date or drink to dessert, something.
Exactly. So unfortunately, we've already used the nickname Pie Guy.
Yeah. Steve. We just call him Steve. Just like, there was you're Steve now.
There was a guy, and I don't remember what his nickname was now, but there was a guy that Rourke dated that we referred to by, like, his nickname was an actual man's name. There was like a backstory to it. But then we kept getting confused. Like, I kept getting confused that we were saying his real name.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate Key Lime either.
Key Lime's interesting.
Key Lime's fun. I was trying to think, is there something with lime we could do?
We'll see. Maybe I'll have to meet him to see.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have to decide right now. You haven't met this man yet. Or as we know, through a lot of my updates, I'm like, no nickname deserved. Hello and goodbye. Hello and goodbye. No name for this man. We are not speaking again. Bye.
Nope.
Adios. That's a new nickname. Adios.
As we used to say, Kirks. Just the
That was the pre. That was the pre.
Random. Yeah, true, true. So for now, he's a Kirk.
Yeah, I guess so. A lime Kirk.
So yeah, so that's my, those are my two dates this week. And I'm excited about it.
Listen, I'm not going to lie. When you were like, oh, I just noticed something when we started recording, I thought you were going to say that my shirt is the same color as my plants. And it's also like the only color I ever buy when I buy a color.
Oh my God, you're right.
And it's also a key lime color.
You match the pot.
Anytime I wear a piece of this color, my sister's always like, you in that fucking color. You know, you make fun of me that I like mint green.
Don't you have a dress in that color?
I have a lot of things in this. That's the only color I really buy. Like, that's a bright color specifically. Yeah, but it's just the minute we started recording, I noticed it where I was like, well, here I am matching my plants.
Here I am with my plant.
It's my splash of color choice. I'm a splash of color girl. I'm very black, white, maybe a navy, maybe a black, and then one color. That's how I like to, I guess, decorate. But anyway, sidetrack. Oh, yeah, I do have an update from the speed dating guy.
Yeah.
So literally, we shut off recording. I look at my phone. I have a text. You go, oh, great. Have the text. Hey, it's so-and-so from speed dating. Yada, yada. We're chatting. And I said, what do you have going on this week? Because, like I said, not sure if it's a friend vibe or a date vibe, right, which feels crazy upon meeting at a speed dating event.
You would think that would be implied. Like, that's the reason you go to a fucking dating event, is because you don't have to worry that the person wants to date you.
You would think. You would think. So, you know, he's like chatty. No attempt at meeting up. And I say, what do you have going on this week? Gives me a bunch of stuff. You know, man has hobbies. He's got interests. Great sign. Has a friend in town. He has friends. Okay.
Hobbies and friends.
Hobbies and friends. What? Jackpot. and so he says that. Again, no attempt at meeting. And so I said, yeah, can I ask, did you mean this match as a friend situation or a dating situation? Because he threw in, like, I would love to come see one of your shows sometime.
Which is not a date.
Not a date. And I was taking it as like, okay, I think my instincts were absolutely correct.
Yeah.
I text him, I ask. He said, yes, I wasn't sure I was going to be able to find you if I was just looking up, like, Erica Comedian. So, you know, I hope that's okay. I didn't, like, I don't know, pick the wrong vibe or something, he said. And, you know, I just said, yeah, all good. Totally fine. You know, just wanted to know. We have not spoken since. It's been a week. I'm not surprised.
What is there to say?
I mean, nothing. I'm just like, okay, you want to come to a show sometime? Cool. But I won't be going out of my way to invite you. Right. And then I saw he did, like, follow me on Instagram. And I was like, okay, well, I do post my shows there. So you want to come?
All right.
Okay.
Come on down.
Come to the live pod.
oh my God. That would be amazing.
That actually would be really so funny. Annoying, just though. One guy in a seat. It's like, wonder if it's the speed dating event guy, Erica Matt.
Don't worry about that guy here by himself. He's not suspicious at all.
Oh, truly. Oh, and then the date that I was supposed to have, there was the one I was supposed to have, didn't hear from him. Just haven't heard a word. What? And it was like a reschedule, yada, yada. Not surprised. And also, I was very just kind of not in the mood anyway. So I was like, I won't be reaching out. Like, if it happens, cool. My night's still open, but I just hung out with Rourke's dog, and that was also nice.
So, I mean, Mango is an excellent companion.
He really is. I mean, my God, I understand the dog people now. They're like, you know, I just kind of want to hang out with my dog. I'm like, it's me. I'm here.
Mango is fantastic, so I get it. But that fucking sucks, man. I'm sorry. Just like that, just like one after another of these dudes, like, just being shitty.
Yeah, but to be honest, it doesn't feel as bad this week. Like, I really feel a lot better. And I think it's just because I haven't been trying. Like, it was like, okay, I had enough irons in the fire. If one of y'all want to keep burning, cool. If you don't, that's fine by me. And I'm gone this whole weekend. One of my best friend's bachelorette parties. So I'm like, I'm excited. It's going to be a fun hang. Yeah. Especially because, I mean, obviously we're very close friends. So it's like, we are a very similar vibe as people. And it's like my type of itinerary that I would plan for like my own bachelorette. So I'm like, this is going to be great. Great to see everybody. And like perfect amount of just chill time by a pool, some activity, little winery, little this. It's just going to be a great time. So I'm like, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Amazing.
It feels nice to not feel like I should cram in a date before, you know?
Absolutely. I also forgot to tell you this when you were saying about the speed dating guy, when you were telling me about it and just wanting to be friends. One of the things I thought was really cool about the Skip the Small Talk event that I went to, the speed dating event through them, is that was an option.
So like you could match as friends.
Yeah. And if you – the way it worked was you like – let's say I sit down with you and they're like, okay, do you like Erica? Do you like her romantically? Do you like her as a friend or like not at all? And then – I don't think it said not at all.
Do you like them? Oh, not at all?
Not at all. That was my own wording. Do not blame Skip the Small Talk for that wording. That is not their wording. Sorry.
No, it's just It's just funny. We were like, it's so great. Want to be friends? Not at all. Keep it moving.
How much do you hate them? Scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, man.
No, sorry. No,
no, it's hilarious.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It's more like you want to be matched with them or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you do want to be matched, you can say whether it's romantic or friend. And then if two people say friend, great friend match. If one person said, but you can say both. So mm-hmm. I could say like, I'm into her romantically, but I would also be open to friendship. And then
okay.
if you were to say friend, you would never find out that I was also interested in romantically.
I gotta be honest though. I don't know if I love that. That it's like you could get someone that's essentially hanging around like, oh, but if they get to know me, maybe they would.
Yeah, I guess if people are doing it in like a disingenuous way, that would be sucky. You're right.
Right, or the whole like, I've been friend zoned. It's like, you're not really a friend. You know, you've been trying to get it the whole time. Friend zoned. What?
If I think about the organization and what I know about them, I think that they are so earnest in their mission that I don't think that that crosses their mind. You're 100%
Yeah, that's
correct.
Not on them. If I ran the event, you're I'm like, no, you correct. Pick one. You pick one. We shooting a shot or we're not into them that
no,
way.
Right.
We want friendship.
You're right.
You know? Also, what is the name of the just general social event you went to?
So my friend's company is called LNL Experience. So, and their Instagram handle is at LL Experience. So they run like scavenger hunts, they run events, et cetera. And so you can find them on Instagram and all the events are there. And it was really fun. It was like, I even showed up a little late and it was still pretty crowded, but she always does like icebreaker type things at the beginning or like, you know, find somebody who this or, you know, find somebody you don't know already and kind of like gets everybody mingling in the beginning. It's super fun.
You know, I'm like, maybe there's something to the fact that an event is almost, I'm not saying she's pitching it as a networking event, but almost maybe to men, if something is listed as a networking event, they're actually more likely to go.
I think that's right.
You know, that they think like, oh, maybe this will help me in my line of work, or especially if I'm maybe itching to find a new job, or I'm in sales, or I'm in this. Like, maybe the networking is what, like, gets a guy to sign up and, I don't know, just more likely to go than a, ooh, this is an event of singles.
Or even just the happy hour aspect of it, or just the social aspect of it, rather than the focus on dating. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we've been to enough dating events to know that it is majority women.
Yeah.
Even though, interestingly, I actually saw Cassidy, our friend Cassidy Davis, who runs the Chaotic Singles events.
Mm-hmm.
She posted a TikTok today that I saw, or maybe it was a couple days ago, that was talking about, basically it was a plea to single men. And she did it by replying to this one guy's comment who had commented on her video promoting her event saying like, oh, I bet it's going to be a sausage fest with like 9 men to every woman.
Oh, no.
And she was like, no. But I think they think that.
That is interesting. That's very interesting. Especially if the person, you know, running the event is reaching out to me directly being like, hello, I have this many women signed up. We would like you to come.
I know. And I just think I'm going to start asking my guy friends and men that I encounter if they had to guess what the ratio of men to women is at like a heteronormative dating event. Like, what would their guess be? I'll ask the two guys I'm going out with tonight or this week also.
I don't, maybe not. Maybe not the date. Maybe let's not ask the dates.
Yeah, maybe not. I'll ask the guy tomorrow. I can ask him. But I'm just so curious if that is truly their perspective. And that's one of the reasons why they're not going. In addition to the fact that they probably think everyone there is lame.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that almost gives to me more of like a frat party mentality. That's like, we have a frat house of men. How do we get women here? But that's why I'm like, if women are running these events and there's clearly videos and things being posted of many women there, I'm like, I don't see why they would think that, but
I just don't think they're making those leaps.
Mm-hmm.
I do think they're coming at it from the frat party lens of like, whenever guys, even outside of frats, whenever guys threw parties throughout the years, the biggest issue was how do we get chicks there?
Yeah, but then that's the same issue for female parties. I remember I was sitting there with the women's basketball team, women's hockey team, and I was like, hey, you know, it would be nice if we, like, get some men in here. I was like, does anyone else want to, like, mingle with the male team or something? Like, I would get shit if I left. And I was like, yeah, guys, we hang out all the time. I would like to be in college and like go flirt with some men and maybe dance with some men. You know, love you guys. But yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to this other party I heard about. See you at practice. You know? Like,
yeah, I'm going to start doing this anecdotal street research because I'm curious.
Yeah, one way or the other. Or that was the event we talked about, the All Hands on Deck last week. Yeah, like I said, it's like the female tickets were sold out immediately. So
on that note, actually, we got a DM from somebody who has been to one of those events.
Oh,
and she said it was awesome. Like, she loved the concept. She had a great time. The issue, though, that she brought up is that it's a very inclusive event, which is amazing. There's like the people pitching are pitching all sorts of different people, seeking all sorts of different people. So they're pitching like men seeking women, women seeking everyone, polyamorous people seeking other poly people, like everyone. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where if you are in one of those groups, you were only identifying with like one of the presentations.
Yeah, that's tough. So then it's like, however, The Bachelor, literally, where you're like, how many women are here for this one straight guy? Yeah.
It also, to your points about the female or women tickets being sold out, it also seemed to her, at least, that most of the audience was women trying to date men.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like they would be much better served by being a little more specific of like, this event is for this group of people, in the same way that speed dating events do it. Like, speed date events will be like, this is a queer event, or this one is for straight people in their 20s. This one is like, and they get more specific, and then I think people have better outcomes.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me. Because also there's just, then it becomes a competitive thing, and then that doesn't feel great. Yeah. Like, not saying that's the vibe they're putting out there, but it's all fun. We're having the show. Yeah. If there is only one single man, and then after we're to mingle, how intimidating is that to try to like literally on like The Bachelor be like, can I steal him for a sec? It's like, well, now what are we all supposed to be, wolves around this one guy? You know, like that's the part that you go, oh, now it doesn't feel, I don't know, great. Or it's more intimidating to talk and mingle just if there were more men there, even if it was like straight men in the audience. But
yeah,
but like I said, my heart goes out to anybody doing any type of events. I know it's not easy to get.
Oh God!
Not only quality people, but especially equal ratios gender-wise. If you're doing straight events,
I mean, if it were easy, we would be doing it already. Like, I would just be doing it. If it were easy, I would just be like, "Yeah, I'm going to do it." No, I'm not, because it's really hard. So I agree with you.
Yeah, we would have to. This would really take months of planning for us to lock in men, vet them. Oh, also, that if we don't know them personally, then we really need to vet them. But yeah, that's why it's like I do like the idea of. I mean, Cassie's was originally like a like that Sex and the City party. That's like. Bring a single eligible man that you essentially vouch for, but you are personally not interested in. Like, there you go. Okay. We all can bring one. Maybe something can happen for somebody. You know what I mean? Let's put some good karma in the world.
Yeah. I loved that original concept. I know why she had to move away from it. It was just because it was like difficult to sustain, because then people would not come because they didn't want to do that.
Yeah,
and then that like makes the group smaller.
Yeah.
But I think it was a great idea.
Yeah. And she's doing great. So shout out to her. All right. Anyway, that's all we got for updates. We got our little social media highlights here of the week.
We actually have one other update from a previous episode.
Oh, yeah. The long distance situationship.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. I almost forgot. Really, really quick update from last week.
Oh, what?
We did confirm with Danielle after the recording that it was 34 hours to make a new friend.
Oh, yes, it was. It was.
I got so many DMs.
Four. But she did say like a closer friend.
Yes, yes, right? Close friend. Yes,
yeah,
close
like friend. In, let's say, the close circle of like the people you talk to the most, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's how I think of it. I'm like, who do I talk to the most? Those are my closest friends, typically.
She was so cute. She like sent us a voice memo to explain. And she was like, 34, the number after 33, but before the number 35. I was like, thank you for being clear. I appreciate the clarity. She's awesome. Yeah.
No, she's great. I loved her. I hope everybody really liked her episode.
Yeah, they did, where the DMs have been flooding in.
Situationship update.
So this is from the most recent Hot Topics episode, the 13th Hot Topics one. It was episode 162, and it was the listener that was in a long-distance situationship. She was asking, like, she had a trip planned to visit him, asking what to do. So she says, hey, ladies, I just now listened to you sharing my dilemma, and I have some updates. To clarify, we spent Thanksgiving together after my plan A and plan B fell through, and it's my favorite holiday, and his aunt suggested inviting me. I ended up getting snowed in, stayed overnight, and had breakfast with them while he had to leave early morning to fly back to his hometown. It was a fun turn of events, and I had a great time. Oh, she spent time with his family without him. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I was like, very Hallmark. That's very Hallmark.
Yes.
We're snowed in. I'm here. I'm with the family. The aunt loves me. Okay. So all right. Good. I see you.
Okay. I did visit him last weekend in Washington State, and we had a wonderful time. I stayed with him, and we explored his new town, snowshoed Mount Rainier, and hooked up and played games and cooked together and worked puzzles and all that I would want to do with someone I care about. Last December, after a month of meeting, on our fourth date in the mountains during the Bernese Mountain Dog Parade, which we took his dog to. Adorable. Look it up. I will.
I won't. I did. Sounds cute.
You're a dog person now.
Nope. Just Mango.
All right. Bernese Mountain Dogs are huge. Very different from Mango.
No, not me.
Okay. So after a month of talking, I did tell him that I was on apps to date intentionally and looking for a relationship. At that time, he didn't have this new Washington job. Context for you, he works in mountaineering and was laid off from his guiding job in Alaska, where I briefly lived and adored. He told me then that he was at a crossroads and wasn't sure where he'd be headed since he had just been laid off. Today, I called him and asked what he wanted. We had a great conversation where I told him that I wasn't sure of my feelings going into it, but I do know now and I need some clarity. He is focused on this new role and we're figuring out next steps. Kels. She also said to email or call for questions.
And her phone number is... No, I'm kidding.
yeah. If you have questions for Kels, you can call her directly.
If you want to text Kelsey. Kels, sorry. I don't know if you go by Kelsey, but I assume. This is still like unclear to me, though.
I know. I worry about... Kels, I would love another update. In fact, I'll probably email her after this, so maybe we can have it by the time we record next week. Because... I'm okay with him saying, like, I need a beat to, like, think about this if he comes back, like, really immediately. Like, if he's, like, the next day or a couple days later, if he's, like, you know what? I thought about it and I agree with you. But if he's wanting to, like, continue doing what they're doing in this long-distance thing, that I would be concerned about for her.
Yeah, because, I mean, literally, the last two lines of you saying, you know, I wasn't sure going into it, like, I was kind of like fun vibes, but now I know, I have feelings, I need some clarity, and the response is, I am focused on my new role. I'm like, okay,
yeah, oh yeah, well, if that was his immediate clarity, response.
Like, I'd be like, so no? Like, like, I get if that's your priority, but am I in the top three? You know, like...
Yeah, if that was his immediate response, that would be rough.
Their main response is essentially like, I need to focus on work right now. Okay. And I would cut my communication. I'd be like, okay, well, when things settle and if you want to actually try to date, contact me.
Yep.
Like, I get it. No hard feelings. I'm not hurt. Been there. Cool. I'm going to let you focus on that work then.
You go focus.
And I'll go do a puzzle with your aunt. No, I'm kidding. It's for whatever she was doing. But like, especially, I mean, the holiday thing. I know you said, you know, hey, my other two plans fell through, like it just happened. All right. But those are moments that make us take more stock and just make our feelings grow bigger. We're human. Mm-hmm. It happens. Like, I'm glad you had a nice time. But I'm like, I'm trying to look out for you, girl, a little bit here, you know?
Yeah, I think the way that I could see this being okay right now is, and this is why I want an update, is if he was like, oh, now that I know that you, like, maybe he was thinking that, oh, we're just having fun, et cetera. Now that I know that you would want to date long distance, that's new information. Let me, like, take in that new information. And then, like, tomorrow or the next day, I'm like, you know what? I'm into fully. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Or with the new job, if there's a move, if there's a just, hey, let me have 2 weeks to figure out my workload and get in my routine. If people are routine people, cool. But, like, I should still be hearing from you.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like, you don't live where he lives. So like, call me. Call me for 20 minutes. That's cool. Great. You know, you have a little break, lunch break. You go on a walk. Give me a call. Like, you know, you deserve a little more is, I guess, what I'm trying to get at. Is like, you deserve more than this if you're really going to consider this to date.
Yeah. I'm curious what happened immediately after. Because like, the we'll wait and see thing is really a recipe for disaster in long distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think recipe is a disaster everywhere, but long distance especially.
That's true. Long distance especially. Like, yeah. I remember when ASV and I were figuring out what we were going to do, like he was living in New York, but moving to Philly, and we were not officially dating for that reason. Like we basically had decided at the time that we were just like fooling around. And when he left, he left. And then we realized we had feelings for each other. And he basically, he suggested, he was like, well, we guess we have three options. We could like stop talking like we had planned to do. Mm-hmm. We could commit to a relationship and try to make long distance work, or we could like see how it goes. And I immediately was like, option C is not happening.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we pick a lane. I'm a very pick a lane person. What are we doing?
Yeah. Like, we don't have to do option B. I'm not forcing anyone to date me that doesn't want to date me, but we're not going to wait and see 2 hours apart. Like,
No. So good for you keeping your options open too, by the way. I commend that.
Yeah. Absolutely. So,
but yeah, we'll, I guess let
we'll
us know.
We will seek an update. We will seek let an us update. Know.
And as people have mentioned on the survey, some people like when we go, hey, send us updates, people. Okay.
Update us.
Read your questions. Let us know how it goes. Whether you take our advice or not, I would like to know. Okay. You guys are invested in us. We're giving you updates every week. We would like an update. Okay.
Which is a good PSA that we have a podcast survey. If you don't watch our Instagram stories, watch our Instagram stories. No, but if you don't watch our Instagram stories or you're not a patron, we are doing a podcast survey. We're looking to get y'all's input on, you know, what you like, what you wish we did less of, what we can do better, guest suggestions, just the whole thing. And we will link it in the show notes.
Yes. So please, it's very quick. Vote. It is anonymous. You can give us your email if you'd like. But you don't have to. So anonymous survey. We have gotten over 1,000 responses as of right now. Not even promoting it that much. But we appreciate it because obviously, look, we can't make all of you happy with what we do on the show or maybe new things we try to implement and try. But it's your chance to give us feedback and we're going to go, you know, with the majority. So vote. Voting matters. Yeah. Okay. Come in here.
Yeah. Your voice matters. We'll also put a link at findingmrheight.com/podcast. So if it's easier for you to just go there, we'll throw a link.
Yeah. Is it on our show notes or DM me? I'll send you the link.
Same. But yeah. One thing I didn't know that I had until I moved to the East Coast was seasonal allergies. I just want to give a shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples because it's that time of year.
Luckily for us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
It's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better.
This double action combination of prescription strength, allergy medicine, and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. So if you want to breathe and you're ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. You can find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription.
Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Anyway.
But okay. I did giggle at the person, several people who said this, but especially the person who said that we should put more pressure on people to give updates.
Yeah. You know, and then the, you know, the laughing emoji, but I'm like, yeah, but it is like, and so what happened? Like, don't leave us hanging.
I know.
What happened? You know, your email is anonymous. Just let us know. Let us know what happened.
Let us know, please.
I want to know. Okay. All right. So now for, I guess, our social media roundup section, we'll start with someone who's been a bit of the talk of the town the past, feels like a year since what, the big Sandoval breakup? Is that what everybody calls it? The Sandoval breakup?
Yeah, Scandoval.
Excuse me. Scandoval.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is, it coincides with a question that we got on the Patreon recently about somebody who was considering buying property with someone that they weren't married to. Mm-hmm. And then, and for those who don't watch Vanderpump Rules, I will do the briefest of recaps as I can of what's going on. So there is a couple that was together for like a decade. I don't know if it was quite that long, but a very long time. Ariana and Tom Sandoval. There are two Toms on the show. That's why we use his last name. They were together for a very long time. And in the last few years, bought a house together. Mm-hmm. And Scandoval refers to a massive scandal, cheating scandal that broke where it turns out that Tom Sandoval had been cheating on Ariana for months, 9 months, I think, but months, with her very close friend, their very close friend, Raquel, who now goes by Rachel. That's a whole other thing.
Who is also on the show. So that's like why it's extra level of scandal. Yes. All of them are being filmed, and part of the show. So now we have receipts of, you know, one's in, what is it? Didn't she went to her grandmother's funeral?
Yeah.
Turns out he didn't go with her, hooking up with this girl in their house. What?
Yes.
Anyway, so
yeah,
you can do a deep dive on the details, but yeah.
When what made it extra interesting is that the scandal broke, the news broke. Ariana found out after filming had ended, but prior to the reunion for the season.
Yeah.
And so I think about roughly half the season had aired when she found out and the world found out and like the whatever. And the producers were then able to like edit the rest of the season, knowing what they knew that they did not know when they were filming, and like finding all of these Easter eggs, clues of like, it was in plain sight that this was happening.
Yep.
So we could go into a lot more about that. I recently also became a Vanderpump Rules fan. I binged the entire series in like 3 months, 2 months.
This has not only caused like people to become a fan for the first time, but also like a resurgence, because the show was kind of on the outs. That's what I was hearing from everyone. Like, it was boring. It kind of was like, it's run its course. It might not be renewed for whatever number of seasons contracts are up. And then it's like the big scandal happens. Now everyone's tuned in. Because my roommate did the catch up. So I know via her and walking into the living room being like, fill me in. Where are we at now? Did she move out of the house yet? No. Okay. What's happening with the house? So the basis of this more is about their whole legal situation with this house they bought together. And how do you get out of it? What does that mean if you're someone that's buying property with someone that either you don't want to get married, or, you know, whatever order you want to do things. So we were like, hey, this might be a good PSA/informative segment here for anybody that might be close to this, or when you hit this point in your relationship.
Absolutely. And so I have a friend who would like to remain anonymous because this is, you know, her job. But she
is not Rourke, by the way. Not Rourke.
It is not Rourke.
Okay.
Clarify. Rourke doesn't do real estate.
She does different.
I have a friend who is a licensed New York real estate attorney. Mm-hmm. That is how she would like to be identified. Okay. And she's also a big Vanderpump Rules fan. So she comes at this both knowing like all of the law behind this and having dealt with a lot of similar cases. They're called partition cases. Also, though, knowing a lot about Ariana and Tom. So she sent me a novel, which was amazing. Like, she was like, I had so much fun writing this. I'm like, I could tell. So her overall note is like, generally speaking, it's not a bad idea to buy a house with someone you're not married to. Like, as a concept, it's not a terrible idea. However, most people don't approach it like the business transaction that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it gets into a similar territory of like a prenup before you get married, where like marriage really is a business transaction. In addition to all of the amazing partnership, love, whatever, it is also a business transaction, and so is buying a home. And if you're not married to someone, you're not already in a business partnership. Mm-hmm. So like, if you're already married, there are a lot of other things that govern that quote unquote business partnership. But if you're not, then buying that house together essentially like establishes one. So what she said is, it's essential to think about the house as an asset and the ownership as a business. And like, you wouldn't enter into a business partnership without some sort of written agreement about like, how much is each person contributing and who's taking out the debt for this, like the mortgage. Mm-hmm. What happens if the partnership, quote unquote, dissolves, which in the romantic world means breakup, like all of that stuff. And if that happens, like, how do you determine the value of this asset that you now own together? So all that can be determined in advance, but a lot of people don't do that. And so that's where there are then issues that come up.
Because I assume it would also be in this kind of prenup, house buying prenup, I assume you could put in, if we are to break up, you know, this person is to do XYZ, whether it's buy out the other person or we continue paying the mortgage until we sell the house. Like, you essentially can map out the ending at the beginning, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So
which does feel, you know, not romantic, but
Yeah.
But the problem on the show is that they both are refusing to move out of the house.
Yeah. So there's a few issues. So like, so yeah. So to answer your first question, yes. So they, the, basically you can decide all that stuff in advance. Like if one person, if they have the right to buy each other out, you can determine a formula for how that's going to be decided. You can determine if they were going to split the property. You can determine like what's going to happen to all the furniture. Because like that's actually a big point of contention on the show is that although they bought the house together, they were not very good, it seems. We don't know. Obviously, we'll never know all the true details. But it doesn't seem like they were very good at tracking who bought what within the house. And they spent a hell of a lot of money on that house, on the stuff in the house.
Yeah.
They owned very little before moving into that house.
Not cheap.
So like all of the – so like Ariana has been pictured on the show – going through with their interior designer and like itemizing how much they spent on each thing and whether it was her money or his money or like, and according to her on the show, a lot of it was her money, whether or not that's true. I can't speak to, but, so basically what my friend said is that when the terms don't exist, basically you're just beholden to whatever the property laws of the state that you're in is. And the reason that it's different when you're married versus unmarried is because marital laws trump property laws. So if you're married, marital laws will decide how it's divided. But because they're not, property laws govern it. And that's why Ariana has initiated what's known as a partition case, which she's trying to force the sale of the property.
Because he has been trying to, quote, buy her out. Right. He wants to stay in it, trying to buy her out. And she's like, no, let's give up the house, sell it. So that's like the point of contention, too. It's like they're also just not coming to an agreement on what to do.
Right. Or how much. Because this is the part that's like not really public record is that like she says that the offers that he had presented to her, and maybe it is public record now with her partition suit, but she has said that the offers didn't include all the stuff in the house. They didn't like that. It just wasn't. And also, there's obviously a lot of emotions at play here. And she's made a couple statements along the lines of like, he doesn't just get to keep living in our house like nothing happened.
Yeah. See, that's where it's like, you need to take that out. You need to take that out of it. Yes. I would understand if it's like, he's trying to buy you out at a price that you have a realtor come in and say, no, we would list this at this price. The market has skyrocketed. It's crazy right now. Yada, yada, yada. And you essentially have to determine what price will I take his buyout and just get the hell out of there. Like, that's my standpoint is like, homegirl, get out. You know, like get a price, get him to pay it and move out. Like, what do we do?
It is a terrible situation because they are still living in the house, but they are not speaking to each other. They only speak through their respective assistants.
I cannot imagine doing this.
It seems terrible. It seems terrible. And it's obviously like for obvious reasons, she's had multiple outbursts, breakdowns, et cetera, like understandably, but like, get yourself out of that physical situation. Now, you know, I don't have all the ins and outs of the financial stuff. So like, I'm sure there's a lot more at play.
Yeah. But like at first the world was against him because he cheated. So it's like, everyone's on her side automatically, like do what she wants, which is sell the house, split the profits, sell the insides, like get the fuck out. Right. But he's been stubborn and saying, no, I want to stay here. And at that point it's like, girl, if I was a friend, I'd be like, what mentally, what is the best thing? And you are not out
friends
money.
Have told her that.
Yeah, like it's hit the point, I believe. What has it been, a year? I feel like people have been talking about this for years because I don't watch the show. And I'm like, someone tell her to take a fair offer of money and go. And if he's not offering you to pay the stuff, then sell it. That's what I would do. I'd be like, well I'm starting listing it to sell. I'm going to call that interior designer. Yeah, right?
Just next thing you like, know, all the stuff in the house is gone.
Yeah, literally. I'd be like, okay, if you don't want to pay me for it or can't afford to, which fine, fair. But if I want my money back, then let's sell it. And then you decorate this house however you want. The emotional piece, it's hit the point. I'm like, you gotta let this go.
So there's another like complicating factor that's like kind of interesting here too.
Oh, what is it?
Tom took out a loan against the house to help finance the bar that he opened with the other Tom.
Oh, is she trying to get part ownership of the bar?
Oh, I doubt it.
Could she?
She wants that. But
could she? If it's her property too.
I don't think so. But the issue is, so basically the way that my friend explained it is that when one or both parties do that, when they take out a loan, when they secure like some other form of debt, mm-hmm. a lien is placed on the property by the lender. And so when a house goes up for sale, a future buyer is going to want to see that lien removed. So that means that the sellers have to either sell the house for enough money to cover the cost of the loan or have cash on hand to cover that difference. And it sounds like Tom doesn't have that.
So then it could explain why he's cash. Yes. So then that explains why he is like, I will just stay here and buy you out because I can't do both. Or the sell of the house then actually might damage Ariano even more if they got to pay this loan to even get it sold.
Right. And so, and then this is my favorite sentence of the entire thing that my friend wrote. She said, that's why when Ariana agreed to the home equity loan, Lisa gave her major side eye.
Yeah, Lisa Vanderpump knows her shit, dog. She knows her business stuff. She's not making poor decisions like that.
And my friend also said, like, honestly, with resources like Lisa Vanderpump and other like very well-off people that Ariana knows, she's extremely surprised that she didn't have more of an understanding of like what purchasing a house with him and him refinancing it meant.
Yeah. Your name's on it. You're entitled to it.
Because if they had agreed on this stuff in advance, then she could have like immediately moved out and have had none of this issue if they had decided in advance, like, this is what's going to happen.
And this is the part I wonder, if they were married, would it actually be worse for her than the situation she's in right now? Because when you're married, the debt is your debt, right? If he signs that loan, they're married.
If they didn't,
it's like then she's still on the hook, possibly. Right?
The difference, though, maybe, I don't know the law on that.
I mean, we're not lawyers, but...
Yeah. Yeah. The blanket statement of this whole thing, no. But the difference is, if I'm understanding what my friend is saying correctly, one person would not be able to force a sale of the house if they were married. Whereas because it's governed by property law, Ariana, if she wins this suit, and according to my friend, there's like very little defense for this suit, generally speaking, not the specific suit, but in general. Once a joint tenant initiates a partition case against the other joint tenant, there's like very little defense for it to continue. But that's not true if they're married, because now marital law governs it and not property law.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, so I think, this is weirdly the scenario that goes, okay, thank God you don't have a ring or whatever, you know, like now we're like, this might work in your favor, but it might not. I mean, Lord knows. I mean, this is why I'm like, I'm not buying a house with somebody till we're locked in. Cause my God, or this is so much.
Or just have a contract about it, whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Oof. Yeah. What is the overall conclusion here? Or does she think is going to happen?
She thinks now, it sounds like unless one of them gives, it sounds like she thinks that this partition case is there's like no defense for it. So they will be like forced to sell the house. The problem is that there's this lien on it. So like, which he's going to have to come up with quite a bit of cash.
Because it has to be paid. Yes. That's the part that I'm confused on.
It does. Yeah. Because most buyers, according to her, most buyers are not going to buy a house that has a cloud on the title is what it's called.
Okay. So it's like that stays with the house. Cause I was like, does that just stay with the person? But now obviously if you have to put up your assets to get the loan,
it's on the title.
Then it can't. Then the bank's like, we need the money back now that you don't have the asset that you leveraged and he has nothing else to leverage in its position is what it sounds like.
Unless he has a buttload of cash. We don't know how much the loan's for, all that shit. Like, we don't have that information. But
yeah, because I was like, I mean, I would not advise this because I would not to keep being tied to this man if I was Ariana. But there is the option that's almost like you could make it that he owes you the debt if you do use the house profit. And you could slap a higher percentage on that shit and be like, well, now your loan is to me and you got to make me these payments monthly. And there we go.
Now she has to deal with him. I mean, if that's even legal, first of all.
Well, but
then she would have to deal with him forever.
Well, the other part is he has nothing to leverage if he stops making the payments to her as well.
Yeah.
So it really is. It's a very shit out of luck situation overall.
Yeah, it sucks overall. But like, I agree with you. I'm like, girl, get out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I mean, to have to be living there? Come on.
Yeah.
That's when I would be like, what is my price of the loss I would take to just get the fuck out? Or maybe the compromise is they sell the house and she gets to keep whatever profit from furniture stuff. Like,
Oh yeah.
And that's what's going to make up the difference of whatever the hell he owes the bank. I don't know. Maybe. At least yeah. It would make it close. But that's where I understand being a little spiteful. That's kind of like, well, this is your business decision and not mine. And, you know, get yourself out of the hole. That's not on me to do.
Yeah, she was like, back when that, because that the loan against the house happened before we knew, obviously, about all the cheating and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone on the show, and I think watching, was like, she was like, no, that it's his loan. It's from his part of the house. It doesn't affect me at all. And everyone was like, girl, yes, it does.
It does if you try to sell it. And yeah, that's the problem she's having right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's a similar thing to when people are like, why would we get a prenup? We're not planning on getting divorced. Yeah, of course you're not. No one's planning on getting divorced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it sounds like he doesn't have that many friends either right now to step in and help him, where it's like, I could loan you the money, pay me back. And, you know, not that I'm saying
his friends work for him.
The whole thing's very sticky.
Yeah.
So, well, basically, before you do this, guys, get a lawyer. Figure your shit out. Figure out your state laws, property laws, marriage laws, whatever it is. Figure it out. Because there's a lot of people that do also have, like, domestic partnerships, you know, to help with, like, insurance things if you have lived with someone a long time. And it's like...
Yeah, totally.
You know, you're smart women listening here, okay? Let's be smart. Let's be smart women. Let's find some smart lawyers that are, you know, other smart women. And figure it out, you know? Figure it out, gals.
Agree.
All right. So before we get into our next news thing, this is also something we've been thinking about doing as like a shorter segment when we find whatever's currently happening, dating news. And that's something you can vote on the survey. So a reminder to go take the survey. It would be little things like this. Not as much time. This is a more in-depth one for like a full episode. But anyway, that's what we mean about there's like a dating news option as a potential news segment to do.
Yeah.
So, all right. What's our next one?
So been making the rounds. I mean, I think everybody has seen the TikTok, Instagram kind of waves of videos of people being like, fuck the dating apps, I'm over them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels like there's like a fever pitch in a way that there's never been before about people either like deleting their apps or just being burned out on them.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And the data, there's like starting, so the Q4 2023 numbers are in. A lot of the Q1 2024 earnings and numbers are going to come out in May, so we can circle back on this then. But the numbers are really speaking to that. And there were like a few articles that were pushed to me recently about how downloads are way down and subscription dollars are way down. And it's just like a lot of times I think when you see these people, like when you see videos of people being like, fuck this thing, I'm not doing this thing anymore, you'll turn around and be like, okay, but that thing's actually still pretty successful.
Mm.
Like, true. Like we're not making an impact, but it feels like this movement is actually making an impact.
So one of the factors you said is that the apps were made for millennials.
Yes.
Millennials were the predominant users, right? Upon I was graduating college was when Tinder came out, and then Hinge, Bumble, all these things follow suit. So it's like, technically I could say I've been using dating apps since 2000. Oh my God. When did I graduate college? 13.
Yeah.
So that's 10 years. So it's like millennials have been using it 10 years, and you have the two sides. Either the person like me, who's like, I've been using it 10 years. It doesn't fucking work. I had enough. Okay. There's a little bit of that.
And they haven't. And like we talked about with Damona Hoffman, they haven't changed a hell of a lot in those 10 years.
Not that much. No. If anything, just become more expensive and put more things behind a paywall. That's.
Yeah.
Feels like all that's changed. And the other one, and there's some apps that have died. So because the other side is people have just also gotten married from them. So now your primary demographic is just not using the app for clear reasons, or at least shouldn't be using them. Get off it if you're married. What are you doing? No, I'm kidding.
If you're married, stop it.
Yeah, if you're married, report that profile. But yeah, so it's like you have the two sides. Either it was successful and now you're gone and now we've lost a customer. And then the other side of people that are just fed up. That's how I see it anyway.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about the generational aspect of it until I was reading these articles where it's like they were built for millennials to do the thing that we wanted to do in the way that we wanted to do it and like literally built for us. We were their target demographic. And now, like you said, like as the addressable audience is shrinking and Gen Z is coming up, which also Gen Z is a smaller generation than millennials are, but as Gen Z is coming up and they want different things out of dating or out of like the experience of dating, and dating apps are just in no way catching up to that.
Mm. Yeah. It's like, if you can't snatch that new demographic, you got to change it up.
Yeah. There were like a bunch of studies that, or like even just anecdotal things from Gen Z singles who were saying that they far prefer to meet people on apps like Snapchat and TikTok via like direct DM, like sliding into somebody's DMs, than a dating app. Like, they would far prefer that.
I mean, interesting, because it's not like millennials aren't doing that.
Yeah, but you know? I don't think it has that high of a rate. I don't think it's as normalized to just like slide into some random person's DM.
Oh, I mean, granted, I'm in a, you know, network of men for my job and they naturally have followings and et cetera, et cetera. But I'm like, yeah. A lot of men I know, that is how they are meeting a lot of women, is women are sliding on in. I actually know 4 marriages and it was a woman who DM'd a guy, made some type of move, let's go out. Now they're married. So I'm like, Gen Z might have it right.
Did he have a following? Was he like Instagram famous or anything?
Mm-hmm.
That makes more sense to me. But I've recently met a few Gen Z couples, and like, this is what I was reading in the article, and I've like interacted with these people in the wild to know they exist, where I asked them like, how did you meet? And they're like, oh, Instagram. And so I automatically assumed that one of them has some kind of following, mm-hmm. right? That they like one of them up? Was an in. Yeah. But no, it was just that one of them popped up to the other one in like mutual friends or people you may know or like one of those things. Mm-hmm. And then they just clicked on that profile and they were like, hey, that person's cute. And then they slid in, which I have literally never heard of a millennial doing this.
You know what I have a theory on now that you say that is I have like cousins that are, you know, 25, 26 on the top of Gen Z, you know, mm-hmm. but I remember when they started using social media, Instagram specifically, the way they were using it was very different than me and my friends. I felt like people I knew on it, millennials, we were kind of in this jokey, making fun of ourselves. Like, we weren't trying to look hot all the time on it. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
And then, like, I saw my cousins and stuff, and it was, you know, Gen Z was like, no, you have a Finsta for what you're doing. What I do over here is just me looking good, you know, the whole, like we say all the time, you know, the impression on social media is not how life is truly behind mm-hmm. the scenes. People could be going through stuff. That is essentially what I felt like I've seen a lot of Gen Z doing, is there's very much an aesthetic, and they're like, this is my aesthetic. Like, if I was to date someone, this is what I want them to see. And then the Finsta.
It's like their dating app profile.
Right. And the Finsta is me at a sleepover at my friend's, goofing off. I don't care what I look like. Funny shit. Yada, yada, yada. At least that's been my impression of, like, the people in my family that are younger. That I remember seeing their Instagrams when I, you know, we're following each other. And they'd be posting these, like, hot pics. And I was like, am I doing Instagram wrong? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was such a, I just was like, oh, how me and my friends are doing this is not at all what this is. But it's also like, we were the guinea pigs. You know, if I looked at crazy old posts of mine on Instagram, I mean, not even quality photos, because the camera quality on phones was trash.
Terrible.
So like, we needed the filters to make it better. And now the filter makes my pictures worse, you know?
My first Instagram post was a picture of a picnic table that was so heavily filtered. It was in, it was using like one of the filters that changed the color aspect ratio like crazy amounts. And it was just a picnic table. I'm like, why did I post that to my feed?
Right?
Why did that have sunset to be in the grid?
Yeah. So we literally look like how our parents look to us when they post on Facebook. That's how we probably look to Gen Z on how 100%. We were posting on, you know, Instagram. What would they call it? Chuggy? Is that the word?
Chuggy. But I think actually chuggy is not cool anymore. I don't think that's a slang.
I really haven't heard that in a long time. But I'm like, I wonder what they would call my post. Cringe. Is that the only one? Cringe.
I think cringe is still out there.
Buddy, I used to only post pictures of food and I would try to think of lyrics from songs that I thought fit my food photo.
Well, you still do that.
Do I do that with food?
In your stories.
Oh, I was doing that for my advice questions. Yeah, I switched it up. Yeah. I thought that was fun. I was like, let me see if I can find a song that fits this.
Great.
Well, we're millennials. Gen Z might hate it. I don't know. You're just... But like, I just thought that was like such a cool thing I did on Instagram that all of a sudden I was like, oh, people are posting pictures of their face? Like, oh, I guess what I thought this platform was for is entirely wrong.
Well, so yeah, so apparently they're using them as dating apps, and as a result, like maybe not as a direct result, but that's a factor into dating app downloads being way down. In 2023, there was in the US, dating apps grew less than 3%. In the year prior, they grew 16%.
In 2022.
So like, yeah. So like an insanely slower growth rate. And Tinder's fourth quarter of 2023, their number of paying customers is down 8% year over year. So like they're dropping in paying customers.
Yeah. I mean, I think a big factor of this too, just is the pandemic, that I feel like that was the time it was like you really have no other option. If you are trying to meet someone, you cannot be out mingling. So get on the apps. That was probably a huge surge. And like I said, you've been on it a couple years. You're either over it that you're like, you know, I think that's why a lot of people are burned out on that phone call idea before a date, is just like from that time period of being quarantined and needing to do it. It feels like I am not going back to that time. I am not going back.
I get it.
To the four walls of my room
in person immediately.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. This makes me feel like maybe I was ahead of my time making my little saved Instagram folder of men. And now it's the time to use it. Even though.
There you go. Get into that folder.
Yeah. Let me check the folder. I'm going to continue the folder. We're bringing the folder back. Folder's back. Do it. Just fall down an Instagram rabbit hole of tagged pictures. Find yourself a man. Maybe that's the new way.
Yeah. So that's happening. And I think it's going to be interesting. I feel like dating apps are just rife for a shakeup. I don't know what that shakeup is. Otherwise, I would be doing it. But like, they've just been the same for so long. And they're trying to introduce new features. Like, did you see the new feature that Tinder announced, that the share a date?
No. I was like, I know you can share a profile to a friend and be like, I think you might like this person.
So they had that. They had like, and then they also did like Tinder matchmaking, which I don't think went anywhere, which was honestly pretty buggy. I tried it and it was very buggy. But no, now you can send your friends a link that includes details about your upcoming date. So it'll send your friend your match's name, where you're meeting, the date and the time. So like, it's like a safety thing. It's like your friends like know where you're going.
Yeah. Huh.
So I'm like, they can view the match's full profile. They can't interact with it, but they can see your match's full profile.
I mean, it's just more interesting that I'm like, this is usually what women are doing already, but it's like, are they just making it that it's a one button move to do so, instead of like,
I think
here's
so.
A screenshot where we're going, here's a screenshot of his face, here's his, you know, name, occupation, I found his LinkedIn page, like, you know what I mean? Is it just like, we'll be the detective for you?
I think so. I think it's a way of them keeping you in the app for more like, okay, yes, so people are doing this anyway. Apparently, according to Tinder user data, 51% of singles under 30 are letting their friends know the details before the date.
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
So they're like, people are doing this already. Let's make a way for them to do it in our app so they don't have to leave the app. Because, you know, time spent in app is like a big metric.
Yeah, my only question is like, what if you go out with someone and then they just delete their profile? Then I'd go...
The whole profile? I don't know. But if they unmatch you, I bet your friend could still see it.
But can they see like photos and what they look like and things like that? That's what my question is. Because then that's when you're like, well, I should have sent a screenshot then in case I lose this match, you know?
They can see their full profile.
Okay, good.
Good question though about whether if they unmatch, what happens. But I would assume that they would
if it's a safety standpoint, something does happen, what would my move be if I'm the predator? Delete my trace. So like, you know, I'm just saying in that sense, you'd go, oh, I wish I took screenshots and had whatever proof to like, track down this profile if it unmatched me and at least report it to Tinder or wherever I could, you know?
Yeah. I would hope that they've thought about that and have like made it so that like once you do that, it's going to be visible.
Yeah. It would be kind of comical. They were just like, oh man, we didn't think about it. If someone does something, they'd probably just delete their match. Oh, shit. Ah, sorry.
Our bad.
We lost it. I'm like, what? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've been saying that for a while. It's like something's gonna change. We feel on a brink of something happening. I mean, I would love if a boycott just flat out happened, honestly.
Yeah, I doubt it will. But
I mean, everyone on board, tough. But if Gen Z's already doing it, all right. Who are the biggest millennial influences out there? Who could get the word out to be like, we've had enough. Everybody off. You have to be outside now and meet people. Okay.
Yeah, that's the key. You have to go to singles events.
Yes, you have to go to something.
I am only agreeing to a boycott if the men agree to go to the events.
Go to something.
That's truly, is my stipulation. Mm-hmm. These are my terms.
Something, man. I don't know. So, anyway, this was a fun app.
And, this was fun.
Yeah. So, a reminder, guys, fill out the survey. Let us know what you want more of on the show, less of on the show. We're looking to bring some old segments back, possibly. So, your vote matters. Vote in the survey.
It does. Please do. And you can find it either in the show notes or at findingmrheight.com/podcast.
All right. We'll talk to you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.